Hi, my name is Bob Wells, and I'd like to welcome you to the Get Real Show, sponsored by Keystone Partners Group, the show that strips away the myth and the mystery behind success in the real estate industry. Today, my guest, special guest, is Teresa Calantoni. Teresa is a $17 million producer. She has a team of four, herself, a licensed assistant, and two unlicensed administrators. Teresa, I am so happy to have you on the show today.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for having me.
It's very, very much my pleasure. So tell me a little bit about your history in real estate. You've been in real estate for quite a while.
Yeah, I was licensed in 1999, 18 years old, got into the real estate business right out of high school. And obviously today's goals and what I've evolved into, never thought would be where I am at age 18. So I went and worked with a franchise, a national franchise, traditional brokerage, and got my broker's license pretty young. It was right before my 22nd birthday. So I didn't do anything with it for a long time. I just got the license.
Well, it takes 3 years minimum to have that anyway, right?
Exactly.
So you did in four.
Yep. Great. So, yeah, so I was 21 actually when I got it. So I did it in like a 3-year period. And just, you know, kept the license, went and worked in doing new construction. Did that exclusively for a few years through the height of the market. And when the market turned and new construction wasn't moving as much as the market was not moving as it
doing anything
had.
At all.
Yeah, wasn't doing anything at all.
Yeah.
I branched out, partnered with a commercial broker. We opened an independent office.
What year was that?
2008.
Okay.
Yeah, 2008 we did that. And
what was the name of that company, Teresa?
Capstone Real Estate Group.
Okay.
Yeah. So we branched out. We opened up an independent office and just sort of learned how to run a business and look at a P&L and two things I hadn't previously done. And, we had hired a couple of agents in the office. So it was a challenge to figure out how to put systems together, how to train people, how to still sell houses because we had to make a living. And run an office. And an opportunity came up in 2010 to meet with a national franchise, to meet with Keller Williams. And so I took that meeting and then eventually evolved and we partnered with them. And Capstone no longer is real estate sales. It's, I signed the LLC over to my partner and he uses it as an LLC to run his business through.
Okay.
Now. But so we're completely merged with Keller Williams and here I am.
Yeah. So 18 years old.
18 years old.
So what was the attraction to real estate when you were right out of high school? What was the story there? Because I think most people probably don't make that jump so soon.
Yeah. So 18, I knew that I didn't want to go to a traditional 4-year college. I just didn't want to have more schooling at that time. Mm-hmm. And I had an option that in 60 hours I could sell your house or in 4 years I could come out with a degree and not know what I was going to do. So I weighed my options and decided that I was going to go take a semester full of courses and give this a try. And so that's what I did.
So when you became an agent at 18, how did you go about finding business? It's a very young age with little network to speak of people who own houses.
Yeah, that's a good question because I'm not really sure exactly what I did. I did a lot of open houses. Uh-huh. I do remember doing that. Just going to friends and family and seeing if anybody had a house to sell or a property to sell or or something that they needed as far as real estate goes. And I think my primary source then was probably phone time in our office and open houses and family and sphere.
Yeah.
So that was it.
Are any of those methods of generating business still important to you today?
Absolutely.
Which ones would you say are primary?
I would say, our top three lead gen sources for my team are our sphere, our database, working our database, open houses, just listed, just sold cards, those three things, direct mail marketing, those three things we work the most, probably more than anything.
So. And you mentioned your sphere first.
Sure.
How do you go about maximizing that, the business that you generate from the people that you know?
Staying in front of them, you know, being, you know, being their source for real estate information, you know, being a friend, being somebody in the community that they can talk to, not just about real estate, if they need something else, a contractor for their home or, you know, whatever, just trying to be that resource mm-hmm. for them and staying in touch with them, staying in front of them. And I prefer personal conversation like face-to-face over the phone. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to coordinate times when I can get out in front of them or meet them or, you know, that kind of stuff and asking them for referrals.
Yeah.
And so we just don't do it enough. So.
So when, how many people would you say are in that sphere between you and your team?
Between me and my team, how big is our sphere, like our database
how
that we
is
work?
How big is that database?
We work a database consistently. It's going to be smaller than you think it is. We work a database consistently of about 1,000 people.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would think most teams probably have a much larger database, but we kind of make sure ours is ones that we can communicate with. Mm-hmm. So
and your relationship with those people in that database, do you think that most of those people are people that if you called them and said, hi, it's Teresa, they would know who you were?
Yeah, they would.
Okay, so that's a very warm database.
Yeah.
Which for 1,000 people in a warm database is, I don't think, very small.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And obviously that database has over the years progressed from past clients to friends to people that we've met at open houses that maybe haven't bought, like, you know, so those kinds of things, nurturing things that the majority, I would say 90% of those people, if I picked up the phone and said, hey, I'm Teresa Calantoni, they would say, oh, hey, Teresa, how are you?
Yeah. Okay. So 1,000 people and you like face-to-face. So how, obviously you must
get out
a lot.
Yeah, I don't get face-to-face. Yeah, I don't get face-to-face with all 1,000. That, you know, there. Plus I have a team. So mm-hmm. my admin is licensed. My executive administrative person is licensed. I have a buyer agent that's also licensed. And I just got our other admin. He just passed his test. So obviously everybody on our team now is going to be licensed. So it's a big portion is them mm-hmm. talking to people. And they right. do like the calling. There's probably about 300 to 400 that I stay in contact with that I try to get in front of as mm-hmm. much as possible.
So how what's your strategy for doing that? I mean, to get in front of that many people is obviously a challenge. I'm sure you're not doing it one-on-one. Is there a leverage strategy behind that?
So a big part of my sphere has evolved from, I love to play golf. And so I play a lot of golf in the summertime.
Well, you're a champion of golf. Let's get this straight.
So I see a lot of them from spring through fall, and whether it's, you know, going to the golf club and spending time where, you know, there are functions there where I can catch, you know, 80 people at a time and you know, really talk to them. And it might just be, you know, saying hello, how's the family, you know, that kind of thing. But really, in those months, I can really get to see a lot of people. And then in the wintertime, it's, you know, holidays, making a point to say hello, you know, wish them a Merry Christmas. If it's an anniversary of their house from when they purchased the home, if they're a past client, mm-hmm. we always reach out to them and say, you know, it's 5 years, 10 years, whatever, and that kind of thing. So it's just really a lot of whatever's going on at that time. We're mm-hmm. trying to, how can we incorporate people in our database into it? Mm-hmm. So just making it top of mind.
So every opportunity you get to be in front of large groups of people that know you, like you, and trust you, you take that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Networking as much as possible.
Yeah. So. And I think that's a really powerful thing to share with our audience is that, you know, sometimes I think we tend to go outside that circle. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, maybe limiting beliefs or fear of talking to people we know.
Sure.
And we do that to the detriment of our business because there's so much potential there. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really, those are the people that you associate with. Mm-hmm. So you attract people that are just like you.
Yeah.
And those are the type of people that are more likely to do business with you.
Mm-hmm. So you were, after you became an agent, you were with a franchise and then you made the switch. To your own real estate brokerage?
No. Well, I was with the franchise, and then I went and worked in a family business of mm-hmm. New construction. Mm-hmm. And I did that solely, just sold new homes from 2002 to 2008, basically.
So, okay. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the transition. And then when the market tanked, then it was opening a brokerage.
Okay. So. Interesting. Why did you decide to open a brokerage when the market tanked?
Because what I was doing wasn't working, mm-hmm. but this was all I knew. Right. So I had to get out, and I figured, all right, let me partner with somebody else who does something completely different than I do. Mm-hmm. I partnered with a commercial broker, so our businesses did not overlap at all.
So you did residential, and
I do residential, he does commercial.
Okay.
So it was a referral, built-in referral source, because mm-hmm. all those commercial people need a place to live. Mm-hmm. So it was a built-in referral source, and then I didn't want to do commercial, so it was anything that came my way, I gave to him. And it was just an opportunity for me to see if I could do it on my own. And that was the time to do it. When nobody else was doing it, that was the time to do it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Interesting, you know, kind of against the grain there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it worked out for the best because we really never struggled. I mean, we got together, we, you know, started doing business together and worked, you know, just built it up the best that we could, the best we knew how, mm-hmm. and always did enough business to make it work.
So. What were the big changes for you when you went into your own business with your own shingle on the front?
Liability for one. Mm-hmm. Now I was responsible for everything that went on. Mm-hmm. Everything sort of fell on my shoulders as mm-hmm. far as
you were the broker.
I was I'm broker of record. I am the owner. Mm-hmm. I am the agent.
Right.
I am everything. I am the person who fixes the computer.
It's a lot of hats.
I order the paper. I order you know. So yeah. All of that stuff. So it was a lot of hats, and I'd say a big challenge was understanding how to have a profit and loss statement. That was a big one for me because I didn't go to school for business training, so pretty much self-taught. And yeah. I remember going in and saying, okay, all right, so let me, you know, hire somebody who does bookkeeping and have them come into our office mm-hmm. and, all right, get this together. Mm-hmm. And then they can tell me what I need to do every month mm-hmm. to make this work, right?
Yeah.
So it started there, that simple. And I actually went into a group coaching program for real estate, to own a real estate business. Mm. So there at the time was this group coaching program. I don't even remember the name of it. But mm-hmm. anyway, so I signed up with them, and it was like $99 a month. And I was like, okay, I need something. I need some sort of guidance. I need to know what other people are doing out there.
This is what you do with those financials, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right. It's sort of reading a book and trying to figure it out on my own. Mm-hmm. And that was really helpful because it was also real estate lead generation training that they did because these guys were doing stuff at a very high level and they had teams and they had their own business. And so I kind of got to see all of their scripts and how they were communicating with people and mm-hmm. how to build a database because I had never really built a database before. All
right.
These years I had just kind of went out there and did a lot of open houses and found people that said, yeah, I want to buy a house, and here we are. So starting to build a database, how to run a company, how to... who's my next hire? Why do I want to hire people? What am I mm-hmm. going to do with them once they show up? You know, that kind of stuff. So got into coaching to do that.
So that was your first coaching experience?
That was my first coaching experience.
Mm-hmm. In real estate?
In real estate.
Were you ever coached in like something else before that, in golf or something outside real estate?
Well, yeah, of course. I always took lessons and mm-hmm. you know, did that kind of stuff to become a better golfer. So
sure.
I wouldn't upset everybody that I was playing golf with. You know?
Yeah. I mean, do you think that you would be the golfer you are today without having lessons and a coach?
No way. No way.
You think that translates to real estate?
Oh, absolutely. It translates with everything in life, right?
Sure.
We wouldn't grow to the extent that we grow if we don't get out there and put ourselves out there and learn about things that we didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So what kind of challenges did you have when you had your own business, your own company?
That's a good question. I guess the challenge of working with a partner. Now mm-hmm. I had somebody else that we had to collectively make decisions together.
Yeah.
I wasn't the sole decision maker. So that was a little bit of a change for me. Hiring people, that was a big challenge. I've found that over the years of my life that managing personalities and managing people is one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do or learn about. So because it's not about me, it's about them. And it's mm-hmm. about how do we help them get what they want. And it took me a long time to realize that.
So if it's so difficult, why do you do it?
Because it's a challenge. And it's fulfilling. It's fulfilling. Mm-hmm. It's fulfilling to see other people achieve their goals because you helped them get there, mm-hmm. or because you gave them an opportunity,
yeah.
Or you gave them an idea that set them off to go do something that they wanted to do with their life. So that's very fulfilling, no doubt, for me anyway.
Yeah.
So hiring people, systems. I'm not naturally a system person. I'm more of a, all right, let's just go out and take care of this and I'll figure it out.
Let's go make stuff happen.
Yeah, let's go make stuff happen. I'll figure mm-hmm. out. When it comes in, I'll figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
So systems, that was a real challenge for me. I really needed help with that, you know, bringing people in and be like, okay, how do I do this? What do I have to do with this?
Mm.
And then taxes too, because it was different. Owning a corporation is different than being a self-employed person.
Hmm.
So that transition, thinking like a business owner, that was tough. And just thinking at it, thinking from being smart and strategic about things that you should be doing and how you should be purchasing things and how you should be budgeting and
mm-hmm.
and just that sort of experience was a challenge as well.
I would imagine that situation specifically would almost force you to evolve thinking from production to profit.
Yeah, it went from worrying about a sale to worrying about being a business owner, not just worrying about where the next sale was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you're right, it was like profitability. It was like, okay, at the end of the day, we have to make money
mm-hmm.
from this, but we have to pay everybody. We got to pay our rent. We got to pay the phones. We got to keep the lights on. We got to do all this stuff. So, you know, is there enough money left over at the end of the day to make sense?
Yeah.
So that was, you know.
You were successful in that business.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and at some point, You crossed paths with Keystone Partners Group.
I did. I crossed paths with Keystone Partners Group, 2010. And initially, it was one of, and I think this is probably across the board. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I don't really need help. I don't really need anything.
I'm happy where I am.
Now, listen, I'll listen and I'll talk to you. But yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where it started. And
who did you talk with? Do you remember?
Initially, I talked to Sean Morrow.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He was introduced to me by somebody at my golf club.
Mm-hmm.
I remember specifically it was 4th of July and we were having this big party and I'm have guests and I'm carrying like all these drinks from the bar and this guy comes up to me and I'm like, trying to get around. And he said, hey, Teresa, will you take a meeting from Sean? And I'm holding all this stuff. I'm like, sure, whatever, just call me. And so I initially met with Sean and he gave me the MREA book.
Mm-hmm.
And
Millionaire Real Estate Agent.
Yeah, Millionaire Real Estate mm-hmm. Agent book. And we chatted for a while and I thought, okay, well, I kind of like what they have to say. This is nice. I'll read this book. And he just stayed in touch with me and sent me to Mega Camp in Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And that really was what put me over the mm-hmm. edge with partnering with Keystone Partners Group.
So, well, what happened there that got your attention?
So partnering with one of the things that I learned at a young age and just being in business and watching a lot of other businesses do well and then fail, which I didn't want to have happen. And I realized a lot of it was when times were good and everybody was making money, everything was great. These partnerships thrived because everybody was making money.
Yeah.
But when things went bad and the road got rough, a lot of the partnerships failed because they didn't have the right synergy, culture, trust for each other and respect for each other. They needed to get through those times.
Right.
And so one of the things that in my mind, I thought, I'm never going to get into a business partnership with somebody that I don't trust or that. And the acid test for me, and I told Sean this, and we still laugh and talk about this to this day. One of the acid tests for me was I had to see what he was like outside of the business.
Mm-hmm.
What are you like with your family? How do you treat your friends?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do in your spare time?
Yeah.
You know, what are you like in the community? That was important to me because I knew that if we were a match as like core value match,
mm-hmm. right.
then it would work because we could sit down and talk through anything.
Sure.
And going there, getting outside of the Lehigh Valley, getting outside of our comfort zone, and getting to know each other and getting to know the rest of the partners in Keystone Partners Group at that time
mm-hmm.
gave me an opportunity to say, okay, this is a match. This is a core value match. I do like these people. We do share the same ethics and business practices. And okay, you know, I'm in. Let's do this. So
it's curious because you didn't mention any of the things that I think most newer agents might think would be important in evaluating a relationship.
Oh, you know? How so? Like, you know, like money?
What's the split?
Wasn't it concerned?
Where do I get my leads? I mean,
listen, we're all in this business. You know, we do this to fund our life. So if they're not making money, then they're not going to be doing this. And they wouldn't be doing this. And they wouldn't be in this position. So I knew that if I have, you know, I know what I need. And if I could do it there and not have to worry about the systems and just plug into what they had, you know, to what Keystone Partners Group offered me, if I could just take our business, plug right into it, it would alleviate so much stress as far as you know, the business ownership of the office and managing the agents and training the agents and hiring the agents. I could take all of that off my plate. I knew I would be fine. That wasn't even worth that. That was not a concern of mine.
Yeah, like how many hats did you get to remove?
Exactly.
quite a few.
Exactly. So getting my time back was huge.
Yeah, I'm curious because I would imagine that when you have your own business and you're associated with that, it becomes part of your identity. I imagine, and there's a certain pride of ownership and attachment that goes with that. Did you have a challenge with that when you started to think, wow, you know, this is something that's mine. I built it from scratch. It's
no, I didn't at all. Because it's still me. I mean. Yeah. You know, it's just me. It's still me doing the business. It's just me doing it under a different umbrella.
Yeah. So for you, it really wasn't an emotional decision. It was really more of a business decision.
Absolutely.
About how do I maximize my time and get some of that back.
I think one of my fears as a professional is always trying to never have the same year over and over again. Mm. How am I going to grow so that next year I'm not repeating myself and sort of stuck on the hamster wheel? Because for me, I would be bored very easily. So it was an opportunity for me to grow. It was a challenge for me to grow into a new role in a new partnership. Mm-hmm. And I welcomed it. You know, the Capstone name was, we created it. But this was an opportunity for me to grow. You know, it was really a stepping stone for me to move on to something bigger and better.
Mm-hmm. So. And how have you done that? Share maybe with our audience some of the strategies that you've used to grow personally as well as professionally, because that's a big part of who you are.
So coaching, we'll go back to coaching, right? Yeah. Everything comes down to somebody who's doing it at a much higher level than you, who can hold you accountable, right? So accountability, coaching, surrounding myself with people who are doing things at a higher level than I ever imagined doing them.
Now you mean agents or?
Agents, business owners, you name it, just in general. Mm-hmm. So that opportunity, and when I open myself up to being partnered with somebody like Keystone Partners Group, there's so many more people. Mm-hmm. So many more personalities, so many different people you could learn from. So, and even if you'd learned what not to do, it was still, you're still learning, right? So, yeah. So that was a great opportunity for me. And I'm a very growth focused person. So education is big, even though like I got into this when I was 18, I'm still the kind of person that I may not want to traditionally sit into a classroom, but I'm always trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to get to the next level? How am I going to break through the ceiling? How am I going to grow? Whether it's as a person or as a business person or as a leader. And I think that's the new focus. That's the new challenge, is growing as a leader and making sure my leadership lid is high enough, or the bar is high enough, so that the people who work with me can achieve their goals. And there's a vision for them to be able to grow and create their own, you know, I don't want to say empire, but create their own business in their mind of what, however they want it to look. So
yeah.
That's a big one. That's one thing that, and those strategies, so getting back to what strategies do we use, you name it. So, you know, we go to Tony Robbins, we listen to John Maxwell, you know, I do have a MAPS coach now.
Mega Agent Productivity Systems.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I've always been in coaching. So ever since I've been, with Keystone Partners Group, I've always been in coaching, a one-on-one coach. Even if it wasn't MAPS or other business coaches.
Yeah.
So those strategies, the holding accountable is key to it. And then also the other aspect is health. You know, I didn't realize how important health is until I was around more people who were very health conscious, and around coaches who were like, you know, you got to get your head on straight. You got to feel good about yourself before you can start helping others.
So how does your health affect your business?
So energy levels, mm-hmm. clearly. I got to have the energy to take on being the broker of the office every day. So,
which is another thing we didn't talk about.
We haven't talked about that. Yeah. So yeah, when I partnered with Keystone Partners Group, I became the broker of the Northampton County office. So energy level is big. So learning that, you know, if you work out in the morning, get your head on straight, you feel better about yourself, get to the office early, wake up earlier. You know, I never used to wake up at 5 or 5:30. Now I can't. If I wake up at 6:30, I'm like, oh my God, half the day's gone. So it was just getting into that mindset of, you know, this will help you evolve as a person if you do these things, and learning how to eat better and you know, incorporating healthy eating and exercise into my life has helped me just be stronger and sharper mentally and have more energy to deal with whatever issues are going to pop up and have the time to do the fun things I want to do.
Sure. So. How important is mindset? I mean, not just for you, but for any agent. And how do they deal with that? I mean, it's a challenging business, real estate.
I think everything is mindset. Mm-hmm. Everything is mindset. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything in our business that doesn't affect your mindset and in how you look at things. So as an agent, I don't, it's hard for me to go back because I was 18. I didn't have a life before real estate. I didn't have kids. I didn't have, you know, which most people do. I don't think mm-hmm. most people get into it that young from what I see in our office.
Right.
So they already have obligations and responsibilities. And so I didn't have anything. I was like, whatever, mm-hmm. if this works, great. If it doesn't, I'll move on to something else. So,
seems like it worked.
It worked. So far it's working. So I think that it's knowing what's the end game, right? Why am I doing this? Many people, I find that I don't think big enough,
mm-hmm.
right? I still don't think big enough. And I'll tell you a funny story. I remember reading the Real Estate Millionaire agent book, and you know, it's how to make a million and net a million, you mm-hmm. know? And I remember thinking, well, in our market, who the heck makes $1 million a year in real estate?
Net a million after taxes.
A million. I was like, oh, I'll be happy with $600,000. Yeah. I remember thinking that. And mm-hmm. when I look back and I'm like, what an idiot. Why like, I'm like, I dumbed down my thinking because I read a book and I was like, oh, that's not possible. I don't think anybody here can do that. So,
limiting beliefs,
so
right?
It was limiting belief. Yeah, limiting belief. It comes down to mindset. Right. Mm-hmm. So mindset's important. I think it's figuring out what you want to do, why you're doing it, because the why of why you're doing something mm-hmm. Is so motivational to people that they will get up and do the things that they wouldn't otherwise do.
Mm-hmm.
So growing, getting uncomfortable, being comfortable, getting uncomfortable, like mm-hmm. knowing it's okay to be uncomfortable. And I think one of the other biggest things that has changed my mindset is that it's okay to fail. Because you are never going to get anywhere if you don't make a mistake, if you don't fail, if you don't, you know, fall flat on your face and get yourself back up. But I think the key is most people don't get up quick enough or scared and kind of accept the failure mm-hmm. instead of powering through it and moving on and using it as an example of, hey, I'm not going to do that anymore. We're going to change our system. And if we have to go in a different direction, let's do it. But here's our end game. And we just got a little detour here. We have to get back on the big picture goal. Hmm. So
what's your new limiting belief? What makes you feel uncomfortable today?
Today?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't really feel uncomfortable in here. So,
what would make you feel uncomfortable with respect to a goal in real estate or something that you'd achieve?
So, yeah, the newest thing that I have that's scaring me a little bit is expanding into other markets.
Mm-hmm.
So I took an expansion course, and that was teaching me to put other recruit other agents to work under my team, so mm-hmm. to speak, but in surrounding markets.
Other markets, right.
In other markets.
Mm-hmm.
And using our office as the hub. And it's a little bit of a scary proposition because I want to make sure I can offer enough value to somebody. And I don't know if our hub is strong enough to control it because we just haven't done it. So
it's
going to be a lot of trial and error. So I have some limiting beliefs. I have a challenge for my coach right now. I have to make one call to somebody who is either not in the real estate business, like an applicant of somebody that I think could work with us.
Mm-hmm.
I got to make a hire to the team. So for 30 days, every day, I got to call somebody.
Hmm. Okay.
So, and I either have to rule them out or set an interview.
Right.
So that's been my challenge this month. So I'm about, like 6 days into it. So
I haven't got a call yet. I'm a little concerned. So a few minutes ago, we talked about the fact that you were actually the broker of record for your current office in Northampton County.
That's correct.
All right. And you've done that role before, obviously, and now you're doing it again.
Yep.
And from what I understand, you like to solve problems. Tell me about how that comes into play in as a broker of record and as a leader of a mega team.
Okay. So personality strength-wise, problem solving is one of my strengths. Mm-hmm. So when the problem gets to me, most times the agent does not really want it to get to that level. And so when it escalates high enough that the broker has to be involved, it's usually almost a level 10 problem or a level 27 problem at that point. So it's breaking it down, really finding out what's the motivation here. Why are we in this position? Where do we want to get to? Breaking it down and being fair and trying to strike a win-win deal for everybody so we can get to the end result and move on. And it's the same thing in our business. You get a home inspection report or a reply to a home inspection that's got 12 issues on it, and it's $10,000 worth of work. How are we gonna? Maybe most agents fear presenting that to their client.
Sure,
but
it's
really
intimidating.
It's intimidating, right? Mm-hmm. So, but really, that's really the negotiation. That's really breaking down. This is the reality of our situation. This is what we have. This is what the buyer is looking for, and this is what you have to deal with. How are we going to get over this hurdle? Because you know that once we get over that hurdle, it's pretty much smooth sailing to the settlement table, which is all where we're trying to go. Mm-hmm. So it's breaking it down and presenting it in a way that's realistic and then being fair about the reality of the situation so that all parties can kind of strike a win-win deal. So that part of it I really like. Mm-hmm. I would say if there's an aspect of our business that I enjoy, it's that part of it, I think, more than anything. Trying to get everybody to come to terms and getting it past the issue and moving on to a smooth sailing, so to speak.
Sure. And I think one of the greatest values a real estate agent can bring to their client is negotiation. And problem solving is at the heart of that negotiation.
Yep. Yeah, anybody can pick up the phone and I think set an appointment, right? You don't have to be licensed to do that. I think where it really comes down to is really setting a strong expectation with the client. Hey, this is you want to sell your house? Well, here's the reality. Your house is 70 years old. At 70, most people have something wrong with them. Your house may have something wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And let's be real about it. And here's where we're going to go with it and try to work through it.
It applies as a broker of record or as a mega agent. You're solving the same problem.
Yeah, we're solving the same. It's just from different perspective. Yeah. So you may be solving agent to agent issue, personality conflicts or whatever, no different than trying to be a professional in a transaction and do the best you can for your client and the other agent involved. We forget about that. It takes usually, in most cases, you got two agents working together. So it's, being fair to them and making sure that we're doing the best job we can for them and their client as well.
Yeah. In a cooperative way.
Yeah. I would say if I see anything, agents neglect to set that expectation with their client and with the other agent that they're working with too. Mm. So that's important.
So when you're problem solving with your clients, I imagine it also sets the tone for problem solving inside your team as well. Because more people on your team, I imagine, the more problems that you would have.
Could arise.
So tell me, say the new agent who is looking to surround themselves with licensed or unlicensed talent, what kind of problems might they expect to face as they build their team and maybe give them some ideas about how you've solved some of those.
Yeah. So if you're a new agent and you're looking to build a team, right? So if you're a new agent, your plan is to build a team. First hire is leveraging the things, finding somebody whose strength is your weakness, right? That's the first thing that you would want to.
So you're not looking for somebody like you.
No, that's not going to work out too well.
Okay.
If there were two of me in the office, I think everybody would leave. So, that's not going to work. It's definitely not. In my business, that wouldn't work out. It's finding somebody whose strength is your weakness. So, for instance, my administrator, but has the same core values. Mm-hmm. So let's not forget about
that.
Right,
sure. Okay.
Somebody who has the same core values. And as a person and as a business person and just as anyone in general, you should define what your core values are. I think that's important, right? What's important to you? Mm-hmm. If not, you're going to go to work and people can't read your mind. So you have to define what's important. And that took me a long time to realize that, because the last personality test I took, my social ability was like 0.5% on a scale of 1 to 10. So I was very shocked that when I saw that, but I was like, oh, it kind of makes sense. Because I'm not open, you know, I'm not openly out there just kind of talking about my feelings all day. Mm-hmm. You know? So I had to realize that I had to step up and define what was important to me in a business aspect, in my personal life. These are the things that I will not compromise. Mm-hmm. And then it's finding other people who share in those same things naturally. Mm-hmm. And then finding the opposite, which sounds kind of convoluted, but finding the opposite skill set.
Well, it makes sense. So, I mean, it does. Yeah. I mean, you're good at what you do, and there's some things that obviously you don't do well.
Yeah.
And find somebody that does what they do well and put them in that place, right?
Yeah, exactly. So my admin, is her strengths are by far my weaknesses. And thank God for that, because I don't know what I would do if we had the same strength. It just wouldn't work out. We'd have to hire somebody else to pick up the slack.
So. Yeah. Were you ever a control freak?
I can be. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm not a micromanager, though. That's one thing.
Do you have a hard time letting go when you first hired maybe an assistant, or was that easy for you?
It was easy for me because it was all the stuff I didn't want to do.
Okay.
I was like so happy that somebody was like, oh yeah, I will do this. Oh yeah, I'll write that thank you note. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll pick up the phone when it rings. Mm-hmm. Like, really? That's great.
That's wonderful.
There you go. Here's my cell phone.
You know, I'm just thinking about your explanation of matching core values and problem solving and how they relate. It almost sounds to me as though you're saying that when you match core values, you have less problems. Is that fair to say?
I think so. I think so. Because you understand where everybody's coming from, right? Mm-hmm. I understand, you know, if we're a core value match and you make a mistake, right? I understand you're not doing it for the wrong reasons. You're doing it because you made a mistake and you're going to learn from it, and we're going to move on, and we're going to put a system in place or something in place so that mistake doesn't happen again.
Right.
And we're going to work together and we're going to do it, and we understand each other. Right?
Yeah.
And if you, and also you have to trust that if you have the same core values, if I'm not there when somebody's speaking on my behalf, they're taking the same care of our client and speaking in the same tone and demeanor as I would. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the same level of care for the client as I do. So that's important too, because you got to be there to cover each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me more about your thoughts on customer experience.
So customer experience is the number one thing, right? Customer experience, and as a broker, our agent experience, them feeling comfortable, trust me enough to come to me and say, I'm having a problem. It's no different with a customer. Mm-hmm. They're trusting you with one of the largest investments most people will make is their home. Yeah. So trusting you that you're doing the right thing for them, that you're treating it like it's your own home and like it's your own transaction. Mm-hmm. And just high level of communication, that's really the biggest thing. If you're talking to them every week, and if I may not be the person talking to the client every week, but somebody from my team is talking to them every week.
Right.
So as long as we're in communication with them every week and we can understand that if something's breaking down, we can get there and fix it. That's huge for people. And I think as it's a challenge as a single agent, when you want to do a ton of business, you can't be everywhere at once. It's just not possible. Mm-hmm. So as a team, we have a little bit more flexibility there, where if I'm not calling them or somebody else can be calling them, and usually they just want to know that they're being taken care of. Mm-hmm. And setting expectations, that's a big one. That's really a big one.
With your clients up front.
With your clients up front, letting them know how the transaction is going to go, what the process is, who they're going to talk to throughout the transaction. How many times they can expect to be communicated with, and you know, once it goes in, and they forget because there's a lot of information. We do it every day, but they don't.
So,
so it's reiterating it and making sure that they're on board with every step of what's going on throughout the transaction.
For you, it's the same process you're delivering every time.
Yeah.
Even though there's different people delivering it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. Absolutely. So that's probably a challenge for a lot of people, is realizing like, oh my God, can somebody take my place here? Can somebody else do this in place of me? And quite honestly, the people that do what they do, like I still do the negotiating, I still go on the listing appointment, I still meet the people face to face and get the contract signed.
Yeah.
But the communication level, my admin's way better on the phone than I am. Mm-hmm. Her phone skills are much better than mine. They love talking to her. Mm-hmm. It's just so much better. It's a better service that I provide because I have somebody who loves to do it, who does it well. Mm-hmm. It's just better for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
How would you say that a great administrator communicates maybe differently than a top producing agent on the phone. What makes them so effective at what they do? Do you ever consider that?
That's her job, right? So my time, I mean, not every minute of my day, but my day focus is not necessarily wondering if the lockbox is working, right? My focus is, where's our next deployment? Where's our next listing coming from? Mm-hmm. What's driving our bottom line, right? So that's my focus every day. So she can take the time, that's her job, to say, how are the kids today? And she knows, like, mm-hmm. if the kids had off from school, or if one was sick, or if the dog got sick, like, she knows all this mm-hmm. stuff. Right. And so she keeps track of it, and she can talk to them about that and make them feel comfortable about it, where I have no idea. And and so when I'm on the phone with them, we're strictly talking about business usually. Yeah. Of course, do I care? Of course. But it's just sometimes we just don't have time to talk about those things, where when there's two of us, she can make the time to talk about those things and does. And she's more of a detailed person, so she can write all that stuff down. She puts it in our database, and then we can learn about it. And so then at closing, I'm prepped for all the stuff that went on. So it works out well.
So what keeps you with Keystone Partners Group? You've been with us for a while now.
Yeah.
What's the big attraction? Why do you stay? What keeps you in relationship with us?
The opportunity. Mm-hmm. The opportunity. So one of the shifts when I came to Keystone Partners Group, I think one of the most important things that I learned was passive income,
mm-hmm.
right? Every day I worked for the paycheck, mm-hmm. right? And then as I get a little bit older, not that old, but as I get a little bit older,
As you hit your 20s?
As I get a little bit older, I realize that I would like, to make money while I'm sleeping, right, so to speak.
Right.
So I'd like the money to come in so I don't have the hit, the grind every day and the stress how many listings do we have? How many under contracts do we have? Am I going to, pay the mortgage this month? That kind of thing. So working on passive income so that it covers my expenses mm-hmm. Has been a new focus for me since I've been with KPG. Mm-hmm. And having more opportunity to do that has really helped me stay. Not that I had any other thought about going anywhere else, but the thought that there's more opportunity for me to build those streams of income is mm-hmm. is big for me.
So what streams of income have you capitalized on that have been kind of created by KPG for agents as well as owners?
So KPG offers, so I have offer of ownership shares in the Northampton County office.
So you are an owner in the Northampton County office?
Okay. Yeah. Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
And so KPG also offers shares to all of the agents for title. Mm-hmm. So, that's a big one. Profit share.
Mm-hmm.
Profit share is great. I mean, and it takes a long time to build this stuff up, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't happen overnight. And now I've been with KPG 5 years and my profit share checks are finally getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I had my biggest profit share check last month. So,
yeah, like so many things, gradually then suddenly.
Gradually then suddenly, right? Yeah. Like, wow. I'm like, wow. So that and... what else do we have? Well, we have a meeting today about insurance. About insurance.
Safeguard Home and Auto.
Which is
a brand new opportunity that was created so that agents could capitalize on the needs of their clients.
Absolutely. And then we get to share in that is a big deal.
Yeah.
So
sure. It's a win-win.
It's a win-win. So I think I'm up to about 6 different streams of income that I have coming in. And so
that's excellent. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. So the thought of making that grow more and so the more people we're in contact with, the more you realize, oh, my God, there might be a coaching opportunity here or a teaching opportunity or whatever. It's just whatever mm-hmm. it might be that, can help me grow and giving me opportunities to expand into other businesses so I can create passive income has really been a new focus. Mm-hmm. So
you're a real estate investor also, correct?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, great. Do you focus on residential, commercial?
Residential. Kind of, I don't really know commercial too well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I can learn it, but it's just always, residential's always been my focus. I already know it.
Do what you do well.
Yeah, do what I do well. Right. So.
Yeah. Hmm. So tell me what the future looks like for you in 3 years. Where would you like to be in 3 years in your business and personal world?
Okay, so 3 years from now, have our expansion expansion partners in surrounding offices.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I learned was that if I'm going to expand, I can handle in our group managing maybe one expansion partner, maybe two. But if I get beyond that, I have to hire help. Mm-hmm. And then once you hire help, all your profitability goes away. Mm-hmm. So so then you got to expand to 3, 4, 5, 6.
Sure.
So
it's got down to economy of scale, and you know you get to a certain level of profitability to expand. You go down in profitability, to go back up again, right?
So getting the expansion system in place, mm-hmm. really, of how to grow it.
Yeah.
You know, that in a 3-year period, I absolutely see. And in a 3-year period, I expect to be stepping out of the everyday role with client. Mm-hmm. So having my team just completely work with our clients, and I don't have to step in and manage the business. So work on the business, not in the business directly every day, mm-hmm. reacting to other people's schedules, you know, ultimately. Is a 3-year goal that I see for us. Mm-hmm. On a personal level, you know, it's tough. I think that I'm at a position where, you know, I'm not married, so came out of a relationship last year, and now I'm at a point where I know myself so much better, and I think, you know, getting settled down in my personal life in a 3-year period will be also the focus on a personal level.
So. Okay. We're flashing your cell phone up here for the guys in the
You're from my
So what would be your role in 3 years? If you're not dated with clients, what are you working on?
My focus would be creating more opportunity for the people who do work with me. Mm-hmm. So how am I going to create more opportunity to expand? And when I mean work on the business, I truly mean giving, for instance, we'll use this as an example, giving the lead buyer specialist an opportunity to have showing assistance, mm-hmm. where she doesn't have to be spending all of her weekends showing properties, right? Leveraging that out to somebody mm-hmm. else. Giving somebody in a management or leadership role within my team an opportunity to focus on expanding, doing the research. What markets are we going to go to? Where are we going to go to next? Mm. So just growing our business, focus on working on the business, and also other opportunities, more passive income opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, getting out there and meeting new people in different markets opens yourself up to, you know, so many other possibilities.
Mm. Yeah. I'm envious of your intent to literally have a legacy by creating opportunity for other people, and for literally allowing them to have situation or opportunity similar to what you've had, mm-hmm. in leveraging yourself. You're allowing other people to leverage themselves, mm-hmm. and to grow into the best version of themselves.
Well, let's roll back. I mean, KPG has really given me the opportunity to think like that. Goes mm-hmm. back to mindset, right? I got the opportunity through KPG to get that mindset because there are other people who are doing it. Mm-hmm. So would I have gotten to this point? Maybe eventually I may have gotten there, mm-hmm. but there was already a manual in place, so to speak, of, wow, somebody's already doing this. Okay. Follow the model. Like, don't recreate it. Just go do it, right? So somebody's already doing it. What are they doing? How do I do it? What do I have to do next? And having the encouragement from KPG to say, you know what, Teresa, you are maxed out. You need to hire an admin. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then it was getting over that mindset of, oh my God, I have this expense of an admin. And now it's like, and how, you know, it's just part of my life. I'm like, I don't know what I'd do without my admin. Mm-hmm. So it's getting that mindset and having the encouragement from somebody every day saying, hey, what are you doing? How can I help? Well, here's what I did. Or did you see what this person did? Go check it out. Or can you believe that this person just, you know, accomplish this tactic, or they got a listing this way, or whatever. So it's just having all of those people sharing and helping and constantly encouraging and having a good culture, you know, learning how important. I never knew how important culture of an office is mm-hmm. until I came to work here. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really believe, but it is really the fuel that fuels our office. It is the, you know, the resource that sets us apart.
Yeah.
You know, getting back to, even though I thought of it in the fact of core values and only partnering with people who shared the same core values that I did, I didn't realize that, that has to be everybody. Mm. You know, it's got to be, it's got to be throughout the whole corporation.
Top to bottom and the
relationship. And if the person's not a match, then they kind of weed themselves out. I learned that too. So,
you know, I think I could speak for all the partners of Keystone Partners Group to say that the relationship has been truly mutually beneficial.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank
and
you.
Certainly our pleasure to be in business with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you know, Teresa, I can't tell you how nice it's been to have you on the show. I really appreciated you coming today. It's been fabulous to speak with you and to share everything that you've experienced in your life with our audience. I know that they're very excited to have had an opportunity to listen to our chat today.
Yeah, I've been excited to be here.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah. Appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome.
It's been great.
And on behalf of Keystone Partners Group, I'd like to again welcome all of our listeners to come back and spend some quality time with us as we look at the myths and the mysteries surrounding real estate and vanquish them forever. We look forward to seeing you at our next episode.